Warm-ups task group, January 3rd,
2015.
All right. Tammy, do we know who else we're thinking? So,
John is going to call in.
Okay. Is Scott going to swing by?
No, he's on annual leave.
Of course he is. Who else? Dave Wills, I did not hear from.
He's on annual leave.
Rick's here. Oh, Wills on annual leave?
Yeah.
So I have a few.
Oregon does have a ramp.
Hey, right. Oregon at least comes to some meetings. Washington? Yeah, really?
You didn't hear I work for HDR now.
Yeah. You might as well. And then Idaho is the only other unknown. I kind of doubt them. Did they show any interest to you, Tammy? Okay. So, and you said Dave Wills is on annual?
Yeah.
So really the only one I'm worried for is Ben?
Or, he called, he's at home with his kid.
Okay.
Sick kid.
Oh, I know that very well.
Yeah.
So he's going to call in shortly. Do we wait or do we just plunge ahead? I kind of say plunge.
Pretend you're a farmer.
I was trying to have some form of democracy.
No, we don't want democracy.
No democracy. You want the benevolent dictator?
It doesn't even have to be benevolent.
No.
It's being over with.
Oh, well, in that case, awesome. No benevolence, just straight dictatorship. I like it.
As long as the meeting's done on time.
Oh, it'll be done on time.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not earlier?
I know. That's even better.
That's what I'm striving for, because I was honestly trying to figure out how I was going to make this meeting go till noon, personally.
Please. Don't.
So I won't do that. Okay, so long and short, I don't know who has taken a look on the website. There are a number of documents there now. There are two from Fish Passage Center. Those are the ones without recommendations. Tammy?
Yes. I didn't get the one with the recommendations.
Well, be happy then. So there's two there that have just kind of, they're basically a quick assessment of reassessment rates at Bonneville for adults, and then there's one that talks about juveniles. Those two are on the website. We have Scott Benton's talk about the KB line issue. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty much it for...
Scott had put something on.
Yes. Yeah. So that's pretty much what we have.
So I didn't realize there was a website for this stuff.
It's on TMT. If you go under TMT, you go FPOM, go documents, and there's one called subgroups, and it's a bond logs.
Did someone need a copy of the bond limitations?
I only took a very quick, brief look at it, but I'm glad someone brought it. We can go print things off. If we need, I can go print things off if people need them or don't have them. Anyone? Anyone? Okay. Well, so I think today's... And then, Trevor, I don't know what your plan is to do with your Excel
spreadsheet. I have it with me in case anybody want to look at it, but you guys don't have it. Projectors.
Well, so if you had said something, I would have gotten.
Well, I just assumed you'd have a projector.
Why would you assume? It only makes an ass out of you and
me. Most people have one.
We do, because I didn't feel the need to set one up.
But I brought it with me.
Yeah,
if you want to set something like that up, we can look at it, or we can just talk about it.
Well, yeah, I've seen. have you done some runs?
Yeah, I mean, I basically put in the performance standard data and any data that we have, Gilbert's data, fallback data, Dart data. And just sit there and play with the numbers and put some expected increases in bypass survival in there and maybe some expected decreases in turbine survival associated with that as you derate. And
some wild-ass swag.
See what that does and then make some wild-ass guesses on some adult stuff and play with the numbers and kind of see how flexible it is. So you can see that. Everybody can look at it. Now the question is going to be how wild-ass guess are those numbers and how comfortable people feel
really,
about them.
Yeah, it just really comes down to the point, like, where do you feel comfortable with the numbers?
Well, I think that's the exercise. I don't know if that's today or not, but we get that on the board or on that wall. And then
if you want, I can get a projector and we can do that.
I don't know that we're ready for it.
Okay,
I mean, you need to have numbers to put into that. I don't want to just guess unless we have no number. Then we can guess, like, turbine survival for...
Well, part of the number issue, too, is, like, we have... The Fish Passage Center didn't really relate the flow through the unit to mortality. They kind of, the percent of units that are above mid-range. So it's hard to tell what that number would actually be. And then you look at Gilbert's stuff, and he did rate flow to the unit with mortality, but it was with sub-yearlings. And so for sub-yearlings, this makes sense, maybe, but for yearlings, those are the ones that have the adults that are going through at the same time.
Yeah.
Sub-yearlings really aren't going to get a hit to adults, so it kind of makes sense to do this, but does it make sense for yearlings when you're going to have more fallback associated with this? So we don't really have a number to put in there for the increase in mortality that we're going to see.
Well, you don't have, because you don't want to use a sub-yearly number. So
yeah. That's, So you have to make a wild-ass guess.
More than we normally do.
But, yeah, so.
I'm trying to remember, Gilbert, that's right, he did just do sub-yearly, didn't he?
No, he did.
He did run a river.
As well, and I have survival numbers for yearlings. It's in my
life. Okay. Well, then, when those...
You don't have a lot of range, you don't have a lot of point estimates, but you do have estimates.
There's yearlings in there?
Yeah. Spring
pig, and then there's...
Run a river, yearling, chinook, and scaly and mortality, middle and upper 1%.
I didn't get that.
The means for descaling were 1 and 11.5 respectively for those two, and mortality was 0.5 and 4.4 respectively.
For a yearling?
For yearlings.
And that's the difference between...
Middle and upper 1%.
Middle and upper.
So that gives you your bias.
So 0.5 to 4.4, so you're looking at 4%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that gives you your bypass number. So now the big question is, would you observe it?
That's the thing. Yeah.
We don't have, other than waiting for Brad to get us something.
What did they say on timeline for that?
Well, I talked to him before Christmas, and I still working on it.
I've got a lump of coal. So I've got a lump of coal in my stocking still.
And we still have a lump of coal until we get something other than that.
It was a pretty big stocking, was it?
Yes.
I talked to John this morning, and he's just to close the loop. Gilbert has submitted a report for those 2 years.
What? We got a final report from NOAA? Say, this is so.
Only after a lot of pushing and shoving and asking. But so he's reviewing that. So we'll at least have that tied up. And if you guys, Fish Passage Center, if you guys have looked at sort of the corroborating evidence, I guess, if nothing else, how we would use that data to show that certainly there was a direction of harm with higher flows.
Yeah,
that's the important point.
No, Fish Passage Center, I think that's from what we got from them, is like, yes, we can definitely say yes. There does seem to be a direction.
It supports it.
Did we redo it with a variable or something?
The only thing is...
We guys looked at a unit operation.
So,
because Tony will
the flow variable doesn't mean much because it doesn't translate to actual operations, right? And that's that was the difficulty with the data set that we're given. Units are on, units are off. Right. We had to kind of control for the units that were actually running.
Yeah,
and then if you've only got just say for example you've got 5 units running. But they're all running above 1% or above the mid-range, your flow that day really isn't that high.
Per unit.
You have
like you said, it's not a test.
So it's the flow variable, it just doesn't mean anything. It's hard to know what that actually means. A flow of 120 for 10 units versus 8 units.
Given to you in that method, it doesn't mean much. If you had flow per unit.
It does have flow per unit.
Well, we've got proportion.
No, it has megawatts per unit. It doesn't have flow per unit.
I'm just saying,
but someone else from BPA is going to argue that doesn't give you flow per unit. We've heard this ad nauseum from Tony going, no, that doesn't mean flow per unit.
Well,
you got to know the head, for one thing.
It's because the units are on and off. There's the number of hours per day that the units are on. It's pretty messy in terms of...
I think you could. If you were able to lump data together, like over a time frame, you could probably say you've got the average flow per that time frame is this. But I don't think you could do it instantaneously.
No, you can't. No. We're not trying to. Anyway.
No.
It's just that they don't normally run though. They run those units at a certain level most of the time. So it's not like it's slowly coming up, it's slowly going down.
Right. I'm just helping you out, I guess. I'm taking care of your argument for you.
On top of my cold, I'm good with it.
No,
layer it out.
We looked at including a variable that would be low, and we just found that it was
useless.
It's impossible to actually know what it means. And maybe a per unit flow might take care of some of that, but it just
got to be better
because of the variability.
Yeah.
Okay, so a different approach would be when we were asking for mid-range operation versus when they were running at whatever high range. Did we see a response in fish survival? after asking them to drop those units down over the last couple of years. I mean, that's the other way of looking at it. When they were requested to drop four with 3 points, you knew they were.
Well, but the problem is they didn't. They did. They only dropped. Because
the times that they did.
Well, they didn't drop it for enough, though. You would have had to have it when they dropped it, when they had the ability to drop it for all units. Because I think that was something from Brent. We did, but they couldn't do it because of flows. Because they basically said, okay, we'll go over, bump up Powerhouse 1 as much as we can, but then we went back to Powerhouse 2 and released it.
Thing to write down. No information.
Yeah.
Back
so, well, yeah.
That's tough because not having, you know, you got the survival data, the study data, which is not always real world.
I know.
I'd like to have real-world corroboration of that information before we let down the road that we're saying here.
Yeah.
But we have Gilbert's stuff for an actual number, so
that's
what we just use that and use their information.
Yeah, because I think Fish Passion Center definitely shows that, yeah, when you're at the high end, you saw a response.
I hope so. I mean, I'm not sure I'm hearing that.
No.
The more units you have operating above the mid-range, the higher mortality we saw.
Okay.
Four sub-yearling Chinook.
Yep.
Above the mid-range. Four sub-yearling Chinook. Four yearling Chinook. And four sockeye.
Yeah, that's key. That's a good statement.
You can say that.
Much as comes out of the juvenile analysis that we did.
Okay. Yeah. Good. I mean,
That's good.
I mean, because the problem is the only thing you can do then is you go when you know they're at, when the whole unit was. That's the only thing you could possibly do is. Someone's going to call bullshit on that. If you took the whole powerhouse at upper end of 1% versus when you know it's at midpoint and take a look at the difference of that.
Right.
But
you looked at 2 years of data there?
We did up to 5 years of data, 2008 through 2012. There were a couple years when we didn't have enough data for steelhead to do an analysis, or we didn't have enough data for sockeye. But we did sockeye, steelhead, yearling Chinook, sub-yearling Chinook, and coho.
And that's all on the TMT website.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's a short paragraph then in that segment. But what it does say, I think it is important to at least establish the fact that there's a problem.
No, I think that's why no problem memo. It basically shows that what we did in Gilbreth is proven out by Run the River Fish. We can't exactly say what level of impact from this because it's just
not for that.
Don't know, you know, if there are one or two units that are doing it and the rest of them are fine, we don't know that.
Yeah, you can't parse out if it's just one or two units.
It's just proportion of units.
So that's one thing about his work. He only focused on certain units. And
14.
So
he only did the A units.
14A slot. Yeah. But, you know, an A slot. I was thinking about that this morning. The C slot is a short, you know, the slot that probably has higher turbulence than the A slot. So, looking at A slot might give you a better conservative estimate of a potential loss there. So, I don't think that using those numbers is a bad thing. At least you can't be accused of overinflating.
So I think with Gilbert's work, I think we could use something for the bypass. Now, the million-dollar question is going to be, what the hell are you going to do with turbine? Because that's the one I don't.
The turbine, one of the issues I noticed with that, with planning out the model is, so say you assume, based on Gary's beat analysis, that there is a survival hit if you derate the turbine unit down to, like, mid-range. There's a little bit, you know, the hydraulics are poor, and there's a little bit of a hit there. So you take that, say, a 1% hit. Well, you're also increasing the flow at V1. So they're supposed to get better there, according to that assumption. So you just take that same number and you put it as an increase over there. They kind of even each other out. But the thing is the proportion of fish going through those units aren't the same. So you could have an even change kind of a...
That's where the model comes in.
Yeah, the model kind of changes those proportions. So even though you have even change of survival, the proportions are different. So it kind of focuses on that.
So you're making the assumption that the MGRs are going to have better survival at whatever you decrease at Powerhouse 2, the increased flow through the MGRs at Powerhouse 1 is going to be better? Or are you saying
say
the survival difference is just
because... I wouldn't say that. I'd say that your tail race is going to be a better condition. So you may have less predation. But as far as the unit goes, I've never said that running at the mid-range...
You're basically saying
the upper end of 1% versus going to open geometry. or better geometry, or whatever the hell people want to call it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's better. I'm just saying it's equal. I don't think you're going to get into worse conditions.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is you're taking the direct survival from Powerhouse 1 versus the direct survival of Turbo Powerhouse 2 and saying you get a benefit because Powerhouse 1 has a better turbine survival.
Probably a better turbine survival.
I think we saw that in survival data.
That's variable between species. So
and between years. About.
Years, too, big time.
And years are highly variable.
So I don't know how much I'd go down that road.
That's the only concern I have when Tara said, well, Powerhouse 1's going to be better, so I'm going.
Well, what would you put in there, though?
I don't know. That's my point. I don't know. Turns are.
I mean, I'm looking at little, like 1%.
I know. It's minuscule.
You know, survival increase versus this, you know, probably 5% or whatever we're going to see in the, you know, marketing facility, or maybe 10%. If you look at subyearlings, it's like 15%.
Is a function of tail race as well as
I know.
It is in the numbers that we
but the question is if we, because we're really only talking about changing out 12K right now.
Right. It's all well.
So
yeah, you're looking at very small amounts.
Change much.
I mean, that's basically at best one turbine?
Yeah, at body one. I mean, at body two, we're talking more than that.
Yeah.
I'm going from mid-range to the upper end down.
Yeah, well, that's a 30K change.
So
and then you're saying you're allowed a 12K change.
I can absorb 12 over there, right.
So that's why I was asking. Is it,
I don't think there's any
difference. Is 12K going to make a difference at Powerhouse 1?
Not in turbine survival.
No, I don't think so either.
Through the generator itself, through the turbine, through the runner environment. I don't see that. I mean, it might, but I'm not going to say that it is.
We got nothing to show that.
The wrath of some folks, so.
Yeah, you know, she's sitting right across from you. She'll beat you.
So. I don't think it's going to get any worse. And show me why it would.
No, I don't think it's going to be any worse. I don't think we can say that. Because I mean, we're talking like a K, like 1K per unit, or 1.4 per unit.
Right. Well, yeah, no, we've just got in those arguments and going on.
Depends how they distribute it. But.
Yeah, well, it's going to be. The most you could increase each unit with a new table. Oh, that's the other thing that's in there is the Powerhouse, the Jim Keel, the basically the Powerhouse range tables for the turbine operatings. Saying, for Powerhouse 1, the upper end, what's the maximum upper end? Because as some of us remember, Dennis had somehow come up with 30K increase at Powerhouse 1. Some of us were going, 30K? We've seen it at, because I'd seen it at 1.5K increase. I'd never seen it at almost 3K per unit. So that was general limit. I'd never seen that.
We've never said through that. That's an issue.
Jim Keel and Gary talked about it. They went through, and they've got a new turbine operating table. That's in the TMT website, and the most you can increase a unit at Powerhouse 1 that the Corps is willing to go with right now is 1.4 per unit. So you're talking 14K, basically.
Tailwater, yeah, very much so. And at the lower tailwaters, you don't even want to go there.
Yeah, at lower
tailwaters. So.
Yeah, the lower tailwaters, you can't.
You just basically
kind of stop. So the most you can absorb at Powerhouse 1 is 14K, and that's the question. Is 14K enough in the tail race to say we get a jet?
It's a little better. You know?
Well, here's the thing. It was 98.7% for the survival test, and that was in 2010 for Chinook. And it only had 3% of the fish going through it at B1. And
the 98.7% was survival for what?
For Chinooks.
And that was
in 2010.
Through what route?
Through B1.
Turbines. And that was, well, that was also a single release, but it was only...
Huh? Not over 100.
Barely. Yeah, but it wasn't. No, actually, it was single release.
I can erase it and put 100.
It was single release.
96.8 in 2011. Compared to B2, which was 95.7 and 94.7.
Yeah.
And so, and then B2 has quite a bit more fish. Well, it flip flopped. In 11, B2 had less fish, and in 10, it had way more fish.
Yeah.
Reason that it probably had less fish. Well. In 11, it should have had more because they pulled the screens, but it had less. So
let's see the turbines.
Yeah.
Well, 11 was high flow, so basically
yeah, high flow as you go along the spillway.
Basically, it sucked everything still.
Although I still wonder about that. It's, yeah, but
it'd be nice if we ever got that on report.
Yeah.
Oh wait, no, I forgot. They've already met the performance standards. We don't need to see the final report.
Yeah, she's a little touchy on this
method
stuff, so don't go mentioning people not writing reports.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, I know. I've been getting grilled on that, too, in the office.
Apparently, they're working on a website where we can all work on the data. So.
Yeah, that should be... I think you and I might retire just when it's done.
Yeah.
It'll be a virtual website at that point. All right, so... So long and short, I think we've got... numbers you can use for juveniles for the bypass. I think we could probably feel comfortable using Gilbreth. I mean, that's basically all we got. Turbines is really single release. 2010 is the only number that really makes sense because would you want to do because Gilbreth is just single release. It's not, it's basically, he's not using that as a comparison. So if you're going to use that, you pretty much have to use 2010 single release data, so the Gilbreth numbers are comparable.
Yeah. All so the starting data.
Well, because Gilbreth's numbers are like, he's just...
They're relative. I mean,
relative really, to what, though? He didn't do a control.
No, he didn't. They're relative to each other. It says the one unit is much worse than the other. Or not one unit, but one operation.
So yeah, but that would be...
So you pick out whatever survival you were getting, and then you adjust it by that much.
I guess you could do that. Yeah, that'd be fine, I guess.
That's what I would do.
Well, so you guys want to see, because at the starting point, I put in the performance standard. That's our given. And if we're going to increase survival or decrease survival, either increasing it or decreasing it from what the performance standard was. So if you assume that it was at the mid-range, that the performance standard was at the mid-range, then by going to the upper end, you're going to increase survival by that incremental amount. You put a positive in that column, and then it increases survival. So it's kind of like you're starting from there, and you only have that much headroom to go.
Yeah.
Based on where you're at.
So why do we think that the performance standards was met at the mid-range?
Well, it's just your starting point. So, yeah, it's an average. It's basically an average. So that's the thing. Yeah, it's just a... I don't know how to even explain it. It's just a... It's a way of relatively looking at the data.
You're basically just thinking, like, how, if you're a mid-period operation... You could call that performance, you call that whatever, that's the survival you're at that point.
Yes.
You're trying to say whether you change it, whether you're going to go above that survival estimate or below that survival estimate for whichever route.
Can we not make some determination of what the relative actual, you know...
What the operations were?
What the operations actually were, so we, I mean, so you don't have to assume an average. You can, I mean, it's, my guess is it's closer to the hive, you know, than the mid-range.
For which year?
Well, it depends, though, because the tests were not done during the time that we saw. Like, you know, we all reacted to the Spring Creek release this past spring. The test wasn't going on at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they were basically done with the
sub-yearlings that the test is using is not Spring Creek sub-yearlings. It's
the sub-yearlings that are being caught. Can't we look at the records and figure out where they were operating for the proportion, you know, preponderance of the test period?
When they were passing bubble?
Yeah. I'll tell you, bypass survival was very high for yearling Chinook in 2010.
That should be pretty easy to look at the data that the Corps gave us and know essentially how they were operating when the fish were passing.
I feel better about that than just assuming
that
mid-range.
What you really want to do is set up something that's sort of a base condition, because we're looking at relatives here. What we want to know is by shifting operations from one powerhouse to the other, we get a benefit or a detriment to juvenile passage and survival, and then a benefit or a detriment to adult passage and survival. So, you know, that offsets the actual shift. So what you're trying, you're asking the question, well, what should we do? You know, we know unknown in the gate well. We have unknowns through turbines and relatively unknowns for adult fallback concerns. And what we want to know is, if we react to what we see in the gate wells and change things, are we actually getting a better condition? Yeah, the fish look better in the gate
well. Better condition,
but does
well,
that matter to the
overall project?
Yeah. And both, you know, adult and juvenile cohorts. So I mean, you gotta look at it as a relative sense. I think you just pick a base and then you start working these numbers the way we think they ought to go when we make the changes. And we want to know at a certain flow level, do we get I think the biggest joke in the deck here is adult fallback and mortality. If we're killing adults for the 30% of the powerhouse to passage, not including corner collector, juvenile survival to go up this much, I mean, it probably doesn't take many adults to erase that benefit. So what we really want to know is, you know, what the critical factor is going to be adult fallback. Both through the powerhouse as well as through the spillway. And are we really, is it changing enough? And I think that's going to be flow dependent. At high flows, probably not. At lower flows, somewhere in the middle of
there's gonna be a
flow
range,
there's going to be a hit there that we don't want to buy changing that powerhouse operation.
Honestly, it's going to come down to, taking a look at what I looked at was, it really depends on how much flow the powerhouse one is really what's going to drive this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like...
And the increases in spill that we...
The thing is, it increases spill because pretty much once you're over 75, which we've already said at 100, I mean, 75 used to be the threshold for adult fallback. Right, and then we kicked up to 100, we said, yeah, but with almost no powerhouse one, that's not a problem. So I think once we're at 100, you've got to get
It's a combination of, you're right. I mean, once powerhouse one comes up, you pull, you know, put fish in the merry-go-round, and then start a higher spill, and you create a place for them to go. So.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things. I don't know if we could even do that.
Well, they gave a number for that. I mean, you could see with their graph, there was like a 2%, maybe you could tease out impact of increasing flow at powerhouse one.
Yeah.
That amount.
That's
so you take that fallback. You figure, all right, 2% of the fish are going to fall. They don't all necessarily die.
No.
So the model also includes like U of I work, where they compared the conversion rate of fish that fell back to fish that didn't fall back, and they have differential conversion rates. Fish that fall back have lower survival than fish that don't fall back, and so you take those survival rates and then factor all those in. And then look at SAR and all that stuff and kind of relate those back to the juveniles. And by the time you do all that, it's a pretty small impact, but it, you know, is somewhat equal to the very small impact that we're seeing from the juvenile side of things. So they end up kind of evening each other out. Any kind of benefit, you're going to get a small detriment in that. And so that's what the model does. It doesn't really try to get at what you're saying and look right at flow and absolutes. It just kind of relates those two variables, the adults and the juveniles, and kind of sees how they're...
I think you can just pick a number. And I'm thinking it doesn't have to be... It has to be a realistic number, but base survival could be just whatever you want.
That's why I just use the performance center.
You start moving things up or down to see how it affects. But the end result has to be a common denominator of, you know, SARS or something. I would call it SARS as a common denominator.
Well, I'd be careful using this data for any kind of relative, because it's reascension rates. It's not really fallback rates. So
We have to go one step.
Well, you can also look at you can also look at U of I. They compare reascension to actual fallbacks. So of the fallbacks they have, how many actually reascend?
It
turns out like 93% of the fish or so that
93%
fall back actually reascend.
Right,
91 to 92. So you're losing. That's post sea line. That's 2001 and 2002 data, which is 2001. I think is slightly post sea line.
Pre sea line.
2002 was post sea line.
Post?
Oh, after.
Well, I mean, they had already started showing up there. But they weren't in the numbers.
Yeah, but the worst.
2001 it was like pretty low, like 7 sea lions or something like that. 2002, I think they started coming in 4.
They had some.
It was 2001 was the first big year. Yeah. I mean, they followed the 2001 massive
spring Chinook
turn. Yep.
But they quit the study in 2002, 2003, somewhere in there. So that's the best thing you have. And so we're looking at like 93% of Chinook.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that'd be the only thing is we'd probably want to double check like sea lion predation rates. If they're fairly similar now to what they were back then that 7% is a pretty solid number.
They're not.
That's the problem, they're not.
The rates have dropped off dramatically with the California sea lion issue and the Stellar's sea lion issues has changed that dynamic.
Right, but then you have to think, well, what else are you going to use if you don't use that number?
Right.
Well, that was the thing, as I was going to say, if you had a predation rate of sea lions, you could prorate, you could say, that's 7%. Got it. How would you want to do that?
You're assuming that 7% is due to predation and not to anything.
It's not.
I'm saying 7% is like, it's just that's a mortality rate. So some portion of that would be sea lions. And you see a relative change.
That's what we have first. I mean, get that number down. That's from the University of Idaho study. So they have a reascension. There's also a known loss or unaccounted for loss. And that's what I would use unaccounted for loss. Because the reascension, you don't know how many of those were Willamette River fish that went on
that. Well, they actually, that particular figure was for known source.
Okay, well then that's good. Then you'd add it all up.
So basically you had a 7% loss to whatever effect, whether it was sea lions,
and then you could inflate it a bit if you want for today's sea lions. But I think today's sea lions and the sea lion activity of 2001 or 2 are about the same.
That's what I was going to say. That was the only question I had is, do we think they're fairly comparable?
I do.
I would say...
Stansel would be the guy to talk to.
Yeah, well, I think if we were talking like 06, 08, 78, then it might be different.
Different issue.
But now, I'd say we're now back to probably where we were in 01, 02.
Yeah, we are. That's what Stansel's... he did a report that summarized all that.
Well, if we're comfortable with that assumption, then I'd say 7% of fallback would be your mortality rate, so then you need to figure out how you're changing fallback rate, and that would be 7% mortality.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the adult side of this. And we need to figure out how...
Well, the adults get more complicated because...
Oh, of course they do.
because you gotta figure the proportion of adults that are present when those juveniles are present. So there's a ratio of juveniles to adults that you have to consider.
Not species specific.
Like with spring Chinook, fall Chinook, there's no adults present. So you don't even have to consider adults with those. Yeah. They're 100% gaining if they're gaining in the juvenile column. Whereas spring Chinook.
This has to be a species by species. Look.
Oh, I think so.
You know, it's for fallback. I mean, if you're going to look at adults, because you're not, like Trevor says, for fall Chinook, they're not involved in this at all.
The adult fall Chinook.
Yeah. Well,
certainly
yeah.
Juveniles are. So the juvenile benefit.
Well, I'm saying for the juveniles, basically, the juvenile, you have a juvenile benefit, but.
You know, Dave would be sitting here saying, hey, you know, full speed ahead.
The only thing is, though,
we've got to look at
turbines, but we've got to look at what adults are present when the fall Chinook are present.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So then you have to do a species trade-off.
Yeah.
We like fall Chinook. We like spring Chinook.
Right. Or steelhead. Damn, we got steelhead. That's we got fall Chinook. Yeah. What do? We might impact fewer steelhead.
And that's where it goes from math Chinook to like.
At the end of the day, we're going to not do anything. Okay.
Well, I know the end result.
We can end the meeting now. Then.
You want to pack up?
Yeah. It will. That's where we're going to end up. It's not going to be much of a benefit for any of this, but it's an interesting exercise.
Well, I think it might be interesting to actually try to quantify how often is this going to be a problem. I mean, this has been a problem for the past 2 years because we've had ridiculous flows. But how often are we going to see this?
No.
And how does that change with this whole transmission thing coming up?
Well, we always see it in the early season with, like, spring creek fish.
This will always be an issue.
It's always an issue early.
But I don't want to go down that road too far. I want these gables fixed. I don't want to be in a situation where we have to worry about this.
Then you can't retire
them. This kind of exercise to get the gables fixed?
Yeah.
Basically.
Unless you think the turds
are going to take care of it. So
BPA
had to derate the power lines, so they're going to be able to have less generation.
Interesting.
So
what does that mean for next year?
Yeah.
We might be having a lot more powerhouse.
As hard as it was to try to maintain the mid-range and powerhouse.
Well, they had to derate the lines on powerhouse 2?
The 115 kV
this
line.
This is the 115
So you can, the breakdown is in this table here.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's going
to
be almost no ability.
We'll shift power over there.
But historically,
fully load up powerhouse 2, and then it'll be go to.
So, Tom, historically, it's only been about 5% of the time over the past 10 years, I believe, that we would hit the flow limitation. So the majority of the time, 95%, were underneath the limitation.
Is that with
so
the power line limitation? Is that
yep.
What you're talking
about?
Okay.
With the 115?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
so
let's
it's
see
broken down
goes.
Here.
Yeah.
It's what Scott gave you, too, on the...
This analysis has got to be species-specific. It has to be flow-specific.
Well, basically, you have to basically match it up with the juvenile, and then you have to match it with the adults that are present at the same time.
But you have to go flow steps.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot better.
200 river, it's going to be one condition. At 400, it's going to be another. In between there's... So we're going to have to step through the flows.
So this table here...
It's just to take step cuts at this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may be that under one condition, the adult fallback is an issue, and we worry about it.
What does this pertain to one or the other of the powerhouses, or both?
And as you go up, it's
because that's not very well lined out here. What powerhouse are we talking about?
Well, and the other thing we're going to have is unit 11 down for another 2 years.
No.
That
so
means we're going to be even more likely to get that brand of 1% at powerhouse 2. At a lower flow
apply to a mix
and that's
of
where
units.
We may get into the adult fallback.
Just on that website.
Should we say, okay, that would just
table
keep pushing
is,
the board.
But that will write up isn't yet.
Okay.
Powerhouse units, 1, 2,
did
9, 10, are configured
the fact
as 115.
Of time
so
of
there
year
you go.
On
Julian
good
Day.
Grief.
Julian
the
Day.
Problem with Julian Day is that it's correlated with so many other factors.
Right.
Like Gary had said, are we seeing a response? Julian Day is going to kind of any response that we see because we're actually changing operations in order to accommodate this,
mm-hmm.
that's going to show up in a Julian Day variable.
Yeah.
Right.
Fish size is likely to show up in a Julian Day
mm-hmm.
variable.
Temperature.
So Julian Day is sort of like a catch-all, hey, look at all these things that change over time.
Right.
Put it in that category.
Did we see a change over time? Yes, we did.
Exactly.
Right.
And we did in actually a few cases, but it wasn't as prevalent. It didn't have a significant effect as often as
so generally earlier was worse for mortality than later.
Well, yeah, but that's also because we reacted.
Right.
I mean, we changed operations because we saw these big mortalities. Right.
So later in the season.
Later is, could be, or it could be that things are getting better because fish are getting bigger, but it also could be that things are getting better because we reacted to a bad situation and things got better.
Well, if we changed operations and things got better, that's not autocorrelation.
Gilbert saw that too, though. He saw that, if you look at his, he kind of bracketed it at the very beginning of April or May, he did a study that had the worst mortality, and then kind of later in May, he had a better mortality figure. And I was seeing that in the data too, and I was looking at it. I had way higher groups of mortality early on, and then lower
and
it was.
But especially like you said, you can't tell. Especially for the sub-yearlings, because those are the spring creek fish.
They're small, and the autocorrelate is temperature and size of fish and all that stuff. The changes in operation are not autocorrelate. That's what we're trying to tease out.
Unfortunately, it's the spring creeks, too, is that we...
And it's the same direction.
The guys don't
things
take...
Things are getting better,
well, two
and
things
changing
size.
For the better.
The guys don't take size measurements for
that's
spring
true.
Creek fish.
Right.
There's so many coming through. But we also don't have sizes of the dead fish. So we don't really know if you have
if
like an average size
small.
That, for that day... Those are all fish that actually survived. So we don't really know if those dead fish, if they were all much smaller, we wouldn't know that. Cause we don't
or was it the bigger ones? You don't know.
Gilbert's report might have that, the actual report, Gary, that he's going to write up, might have the
size
of the
see if there's
fish
a size
versus the size of the live fish.
Well, I don't think there can be that much of a size factor if we're seeing it across all species.
Well, we're definitely, you're right. I mean, we did see an effect for yearling Chinook, which I think was a little bit of a surprise. Now, granted, the mortality rates for yearling Chinook are already fairly low.
Yeah.
And I don't think we would have seen these mortality rates with yearling Chinook on a daily basis and said, we have a problem.
Yeah.
So that's you have to always kind of look at what the actual magnitude of the mortalities are. For yearling Chinook, they never seem to really get all that high in the first place. But we did still see that as the proportion of units operating above the mid-range increases, mortality of yearling Chinook increases.
Wild data supports a fairly strong response by yearling Chinook. So.
Why did they not measure the length of the dead fish?
Too many.
They never have.
Small margin.
Small margin, you guys never have.
But they would know if they were particularly small or large. I'm sure Dean would point that out.
You see it generally in species, though. You know, steelhead fare better than spring Chinook, which fare better than fall Chinook.
Yeah. I mean, there's a general trend on the side. Right. Bigger fish are probably going to be better.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right,
well,
so...
one thing I'm going to do is try to pull all those pieces together, probably not verbatim, but summarize each of those and put them into that sort of format that I started out. I dug that out this morning and put a new date on it.
Woo-hoo. You've updated
the first step. I updated it. Yeah. I actually changed a few words, too. I started going through, and what I'll do is I'll read through and kind of summarize everybody's pieces to put in there. But all I'm doing is just laying out the pieces, not the whole puzzle. So, we'll need to. I think the model is going to be more once we get all these pieces laid out and we have some real numbers in the model, but there's going to be all those spaces.
We could argue over.
Yeah, what we think the values are. And then we run the numbers and it may come out showing that there's not much we can really do.
Under certain flow ranges.
Yeah, under certain flow ranges, especially. Right, I think the message back to the core is going to be we need to fix these KOLs. You know, that's John's not here, but I know he's working on slot fillers are going in. I just reviewed the slot filler research proposal this morning again, and so that's going out. Lyle, the way it's laid out is that they're going to look at velocities first in the A and C slots of 14, 15, actually. A and C slots, or A slots at 14 and 15, and then C slot at 14, I believe. Look at velocities first, and if there's the slot fillers affect velocities
then you go to
and
the,
turbulence,
then you go to
then
biology.
Then you go to the biology and you do the test. And so the test
has joined the conference.
So it's contingent on that part of it. But I think, you know, one thing, if they don't affect a change like they expect, then we're into a bigger automatic, hopefully.
I think we can
automatic
even if
fix. Well, honestly, even if we're not, I don't think that, I don't expect the slot fillers to be the solution.
Well, I don't think they can because of the maintenance issue with them.
Yeah,
they can't even put them in feasibly.
No, you can't pull them in and take them out in a timely enough manner.
The slot fillers themselves are temporary, but the concept is what they're trying to get. If this concept works, then they may be able to come up with some permanent solution to it. That's what's been, it's explained to me, and it's like, okay, that's not really my approach, but let's see how it works out. So,
as long as you're doing parallel
tracks. All I'm saying is that they're going forward on investigation, but I'm still a little leery about the court going the next step to actually really fixing the problem. Well, we're done, that's standards. We're done.
Well, yeah.
Nothing left to do.
Give them standards.
Why do we even have standards if we're not just move on?
Well, and it's like, and it's great, when we measure, we're not doing this operation. We're not having to. That's the great thing about it. It's like, and that's the question you guys are going to have to ask yourself. Like, well, geez, whenever you do the test, you weren't in this time frame where you had to be outside of the mid range so much.
Yeah, that's true.
So what do you do about that? We know you're now going to be outside the standard, and likely are not meeting the standard.
Oh, they made the standard by such a large amount.
At Bonneville? I think it was like, what, 0.1?
Or less.
Yes. Any reasonable person.
I think it was.
Yes. I was trying not to bring up the reasonable person.
I think it was less than 0.1. I think it was 95.9.
Yeah, it's like, I should say 0.01.
We round up.
Yeah. Round up, baby.
We all round up.
Yeah.
Or sometimes round down, I think.
Right. I was wondering about that.
It depends what the bypass.
And then you're using those fish for the standard.
I mean, there are still the standard includes spilled fish and all this other stuff, but it still seems all, to just kind of sit with you like, wow.
And that you have some of your highest survivals.
Yeah. The reason that works is that the number of fish going through the bypass is a relatively small amount in the entire project. During the years when studies were done.
Well, 10 there was actually decent numbers using the bypass. 10, 11.
Didn't we pull the screens in 10?
Yeah.
No, we pulled in 11. 8 and 11.
Yeah. 8 and 11.
10. But also, bypass fish have some of the worst survivals.
It's okay.
If you look at C0 versus C1 groups.
Oh, we don't talk about those.
And so, but still, if you look at C1 versus C0, C0 always do better than C1. They're using C1 fish for the test. So they're biasing against it in that regard. Already, because they're bypass fish.
Yeah.
So it's likely the C0 fish do better than those fish that they're using in the test.
Yeah, but anyone will tell you that's not part of the standard. Yeah. It's not. That's not part of the standard. So all they have to do is meet the standard.
Right.
It doesn't matter what the actual situation in the river is.
No. It's just a number.
It's just a number.
Yep. Plus or minus.
It's a magic number.
It is a magic number.
It appeared in front of something.
Reality is not the goal here, Trevor.
Well, what it was set up was like
glowing neon sign.
There was a standard before, and they're looking at an increase in what they had before, and so they're a 2% incremental increase in survival from what they had before. That's how the biops figured out. They basically bump survival up 2% at the dams, then they think they can avoid jeopardy, and that's what they measured it the same way before. They measured it the same way now. 2% increase. We're looking at 2% improvement. And so it's an apples to apples, even though it may not be perfect. I don't know how
even the rotten apples.
If you presented it as that, then that's one thing. But to present it as this is survival through the hydro system.
No, I don't
is
think.
Extremely misleading.
I think that's how it's interpreted.
It's never been put that way. It's through the concrete. It's concrete survival. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. Hydro system, and that's a different standard.
You don't have a standard.
Yeah, you don't have a standard for that.
Yeah, if the one we measure doesn't match up compass, because compass is perfect, then we got to take a look at things.
Compass doesn't change. Remember, compass was fixed, so what you get in the river has to match what they told us we would get. They would give us in 2008. That was fixed. So you're going to get this much improvement in survival over what you think you have now.
Yep.
We'll give you that. And we said, okay, fine. We'll write a buy-up. It's no jeopardy as long as you do that. And we'll measure it every year. and we'll measure it with pintank fish in the river. So that's the only thing that changes from year to year to year is that measured number out there, not the actual, not the bar. Bar doesn't slide up or down. That was fixed.
But don't you use the year-specific hydrologic and environmental conditions?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's the variable. But those per dam improvement, per facility, or whatever you want to call it, those are fixed. Going to get a 5% improvement if we do this, okay? And hold you to it.
In 2008, some of the surface weirs weren't in. Are you in
right,
in the year specific? You model as it is configured.
As they were in, yes.
As it is configured in that
right.
year.
Yeah. We said, okay, we're going to get this improvement if we do this, and we say, okay, you know, the system's going to change.
Then what do you
much.
Do with that number?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with that number if it's different?
You're supposed to go in a do loop if it's different, if it's below.
There's your rub.
Well,
supposed to.
Yeah, I'm just telling you what it was. That's how we designed it. You know, what they do with it is another. That's up to you guys.
It's not up to us.
No, it shouldn't be up to us. It's up to Noah, for crying out loud.
The region to scream.
Yeah.
What was Noah's job again?
Yeah.
Apparently to listen to you screaming.
Yeah, there we go. Well, I guess you are setting up a survey to listen to us scream in a survey. So
it's laid out there for everybody.
It's job security.
I guess so.
That's got jobs. We're all working.
They have to make it for. I mean, at the end of the day, and that has to be done by the end of the buyout. Keep that in mind. That's 18. It's not today, so we're still in the middle of it. And they need to be well down the road, which they are, to doing that. And some years they actually make the standard. So you know, it's the way it's laid out. It's what's happening.
There's some other shortfalls too. So it's not over.
Well, and you know, everybody has to keep in mind, this is a lot, you know, let's not go too far down this road, but 118, once 18's over and that buyout becomes history, we start over again. There'll be another buyout, and then there'll be a new standard.
Then we avoid jeopardy, yes or no?
It won't be that, okay, the dams are all done, we walk away, and it's the end of the day for anything called an improvement. That's not going to be back on the table again, believe me.
Oh, we know.
Depends on the administration at the time.
Like, that made a big difference.
Yeah, forgive me for not being hopeful.
I'm
well,
too damn young.
Boehner's got more pull than
have
Obama.
That attitude.
Yeah. Apparently, Boehner's got more pull than Obama does. He has more influence. He seems like the president. That's the way it's going.
House of Reps.
Yeah.
So, back to this very myopic topic we're supposed to be dealing with.
You're supposed to keep us on the straight and narrow.
You know, I kind of like to go off on those. It's fun every once in a while to get out of it. So, the long and short.
Just remember.
Like anyone who reviews these things.
Gary does.
Yeah, because that's because Gary has trouble sleeping.
That
and
goes
he's
off the record, though.
Yeah.
delete.
I think I said his author.
I wrote it down.
It's okay. You can write it down. That's fine. I can always do it.
You mean it goes off the ranch?
No, that's not what I meant. You misinterpreted
what?
My words.
I mean, it goes off the reservation.
He'll retire.
So I think we've got bypass figured out. Turbines are still going to be a swag. And then adults.
The turbines are going to be a swag. And that's the one, once we get this all put together with numbers and have a projector and a computer and we start looking at those data and start running the what-ifs. But we need to decide what flows you want to run the what-ifs at. We know the species. And then it's going to become pretty evident which blanks are truly blanks and we need to put something in there. And it's still going to come down to, we need FGE. We need to know how many fish are going up the gate well versus into the turbine units. We need to have some idea of turbine survival for different operating levels. We have some idea of the gate well or the bypass survival for different operating levels. And then as these flow levels go up or down, we're going to get different spill levels and different operation of powerhouse one levels and different fallback levels. And that's, I think, going to be the key piece that we're going to have to decide on. How does that rate shift for the flow for those two?
Yeah.
Of upstream and downstream passage. So that's what it really boils down to.
Yep.
I mean, if the KV thing isn't going to be an issue, if that line isn't an issue that really causes a problem for us, then we can safely ignore it. We have to keep it in line. There's going to be some limits there, I think.
At least
as
for
we
this
get in the really high flows, maybe as we get in the really high flows, some point there, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Scott said last time, right? Mm-hmm. Getting high flows, we're just going to go back to B2 anyways. So.
Well, yeah.
Which is the one that's kind of annoys me a little bit. It's like, I mean, well, at high flows, when you know you're basically not affecting fallback.
That, yeah, okay, thanks for reminding me of that.
That's honestly the one I have the most hiccups about. It's like, when we know we're not really changing fallback rates because power flow is basically fully loaded. And you're spilling over 120.
We never increase powerhouse to above the midpoint unless we feel the fallback is a problem. So, you know, that has to be, and then that should be our recommendation.
Well, it really is. It's like,
I mean, sorry, BPA, but I mean, that's from a fishery standpoint, from a FPOM standpoint, I think we're supposed to be coming up with what we think is best for fish.
I mean, long and short, that really is. I mean, if you want to boil everything down to brass tacks, it really comes down to
up
that.
Up to a spill limit. At some point, we're going to worry about gas.
Oh, yeah, well,
gonna start
gas,
saying, okay,
gas
well,
is
going
to override all this.
You know, now we go back to powerhouse.
Yeah.
And you could say that even under the 1%.
But then there might be a time to, even then, it's like, okay, so I can take... Wait, could you go to generator limits, or you might be able to get another 15K out of it. 15K, you're not even going to be able to measure the gas difference of that.
See, so you kill more fish to the powerhouse to drop the gas a little bit or not.
Gas you got, yeah, half
perhaps you're already exceeding.
Oh, you know you're going to be exceeding at those
levels. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you're going to be well over the 120.
Yeah, and then it comes down to how do you view the limitation of powerhouse, too? Is that the same as we view the 1% limitation, which we don't violate that for gas.
No.
Unless it's a really rare...
Unless you're
if, you're, if you limit the powerhouse, two to the mid range, that's your powerhouse.
That's your powerhouse capacity. Exactly.
Everything else is spill under the.
That's not what I'm hearing from Scott. He says no. We're not going to view it that way. What we're going to do is go straight back to powerhouse two and bring it up, automatic before spill. So that throws kicks this in the, you know, never land.
Well, that kind of depends up. That doesn't that depend on the water quality agencies? I mean. Are you in violation if you cap your powerhouse capacity in powerhouse 2 at the mid-range and everything above that point you spill extra because you hit powerhouse capacity? Would the water quality agencies consider that
you
violation?
Explained that before and said what we set as the limit is what you guys consider the limit.
I can only speak from a historic perspective.
Yeah.
But
sounds like
a lot of experience.
Yeah.
She's been sitting back here watching.
I wasn't looking at you because
you don't count
anymore.
That's right, and I like it that way. Because I remember getting a phone
call at 6.
You're not
the person to talk to anymore. I understand that.
You're talking about not seeing a representative in a while.
I'm still going to look at her because she's the as far as I'm concerned.
Yep. You're spilling for fish passage purposes, and you're over the 120. Or 115, you're in violation.
But if you're spilling because you're already at
powerhouse capacity,
that's a different.
If
that's
you're
not
spilling
for
fish passage purposes,
okay, you're not.
Yep.
You're spilling for capacity, excess
that
hydraulic
is,
capacity. That's why you're spilling.
It's a fine line there.
It is. That's
I mean, if that's
but you're
case,
saying that they're not
going to.
They have not
the
before
time,
said that's not
is
true
a violation
capacity.
Yeah.
That's not what they said. In the
powerhouse capacity has always been set for fish passage purposes. 1% is a fish passage limit.
It is.
So
and we defined
so always
that.
Been in violation.
We would still be in violation. We were in violation before. Mm-hmm. Under that theory, we were in violation before. But, ODEQ didn't come up to the board and say, hey, you're in violation, get back.
No, we report that to the EQC. Oregon reported that to the EQC
right.
as a violation.
Yes, but when it got...
But the Corps reports it as overgeneration spill.
Yep.
That's how the Corps reports. They say, no, this is overgeneration spill.
Right.
So if the powerhouse 2 operating range gets decreased, then they would start reporting this as overgeneration spill.
It's the same
thing.
Yeah.
It's the same definition. We were allowed to do that before.
Yeah.
So this isn't a DEQ issue as far as I'm concerned. It still comes back to you now, BPA, of saying, no, we're not going to spill because there's still capacity for a turbine unit over here. And you're not viewing the mid-range operation the same as you do the 1%. That's in a nutshell, that's what it boils down to.
Even though we have document evidence that it's really bad to go.
Exactly, but you don't have a BIOP out there saying, you know, the BIOP says keep within 1% unless there's something better.
Is this technically better?
We can argue that point because I argue
So really, I think that where the point becomes the argument is like, you operate outside to a certain point, but then if adult fallback becomes, if you're negatively impacting adult fallback to some, figure out what your magic number is going to be, That's where it's going to be. It's kind of the down point. It's like, how do you say, like, okay, we've increased adult fallback 0.5%. We're seeing a 4% improvement. What does that mean?
That's going to be
I don't know.
For us biologists in the room, that's going to be the real struggle, is to try to figure out, as fish managers, that's going to be the real struggle between the power folks and the fish managers. The struggle is going to be that powerhouse too.
But don't you then need to quantify the impact of a fallback? If 93% reascend.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
It's so, not a, it's not like Increasing fallback is the end of the world. They do reascend.
They do reascend.
Many of them do make it to where they're going.
Say you have increased fallback rate 2%. It's basically 7% of that 2%. That's your mortality rate.
Right.
Whatever that works out to. That's 0.14.
You want to know what the escapement is of a fallback fish? Is 75%. If fish doesn't fall back, it's 91%.
That's the ultimate escapement success?
Yeah.
So it's 25%.
I thought it was a 5%. That's a lot higher.
Yeah.
5%.
That's well, so it's higher. Even 25%. So if you you increase fallback by 2%, you've now decreased that, so that's a 25% impact on that. So 25% of 2%,
whatever that number is.
It's the same question.
Right.
It's like,
that's
okay.
What the model is about. That's where,
well,
again.
But then once again, like, okay, so you say it's a 1% increase, 1% increase in adult mortality versus a 5% improvement in juveniles.
Right.
How do you weigh that?
You're going to have to convert them to SARS. That's what I was
you
saying.
You go ahead and say on
because
convert
then
SARS.
If you really want to get snotty about this, we can say, well, how many of those are hatchery fish? What percent of the run is a hatchery fish going to...
Listed.
Yeah.
Listed.
So you then, so if you really want to get down to brass tacks, then you need to take the adult run and say, what percent of these are the wild listed fish versus hatchery fish from...
I say that this is just a lot of air, a lot of do, and in reality,
if the only variable was...
I really kind of wish we had this conversation before we did those. I don't know about you guys,
These are gold that are quickly becoming covered in other brown stuff.
Yeah.
No, go. It's starting to look more and more like, oh, damn, fool's gold. So
dumb.
Can we leave now? Wow, I think I really am done.
Is it lunchtime already? Son of a gun.
Well, you know, we learn as we go along.
So yeah. But I mean, what this does, you know, it helps that the one thing is like, yes, we can now definitively say, operating these turbines out of the midside range, there is a juvenile impact.
Right.
How do
I really appreciate that part of it. We got this is a construct. We got to start laying all the pieces out.
You forget, Brendan, we work in glacial base.
Yeah. And down the road.
I didn't exactly think this was like a manifest. This is brilliant. Holy crap.
Let's start talking you don't understand.
How many of those fish are listed versus not.
You don't understand. Like, this is what it takes. A zillion small steps like this before we can even pretend to move forward. That's the painful of this region.
It is. You're right. There's a lot of interest here.
Yeah, I've only been doing this since, what, 96?
I mean, the thing is, you know, we're going down the road building our case and our evidence, and then out of, you know, left field comes Scott with, well...
Who cares?
It doesn't matter anyway.
I was like, okay.
But the thing about it is, though... The thing about it is, though, it's like you get this information put out there, and at some point, it does lead to things like, okay, we do have to do something.
Yeah,
we need to fix it.
So, either you need to fix that, or we need to get a temporary.
Well, we need to have our story straight. The managers need to have their story straight on this. You know, it's based on the data, or it's meaningless.
And that's part of the reason why it's like I think we now have the juvenile side pretty much wrapped up.
I think so. Yeah.
It's the adult side that is going to be the one
The turbine pack, you know, and I'd like to get Brad's analysis, and we need to find out what schedule. I don't know, Tim, if you've heard anything from him in the last few days or not. I know you're not in the shop, but...
I think he just got back to his normal
position. He got back yesterday. Yeah, because Mike's
Brad,
back in his position.
He's back.
Brad who?
Eppert.
Yeah.
Where was he?
No, that was...
He was working in Mike's capacity. Mike was working in the division.
And close.
Musical chair thing.
Yeah, so but Mike is back in his regular desk.
And he's back
in his regular desk. So.
There to stay, huh?
For the moment, because they did the interviews. I don't know who's going to get close to
Soldier. Did he apply?
I don't know. I think he might have. I think they asked him to.
What specifically do you want from him? You want his write-up on...
Well, we just where's the? I mean, I talked to him before Christmas. I know that PNL was working on getting these analyses done, and I just don't know. You know, has that changed in the last 2 weeks?
Because we asked him to do it for
Christmas.
Spill. Well, oh no, we got some of this like about 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. The thing is, it started off like, hey, let's take a look at spillway survival.
He works, you know, 24 hours a day, 10 days a day.
It's not
and catches tribal fishermen.
Yeah.
And catches tribal fishermen, yeah.
He's always on the prowl.
Catches tribal fishermen.
Oh, God, don't ask about the chum. Yeah. Don't, right, please, love a thief.
That's another tangent. Mm-hmm.
That was the chum zero.
Obviously, yes.
Dip netting in the man-made channels.
Stop.
Gill netting.
We just gill netted across the entrance. We didn't gill net in the channel.
Said we.
I like this we.
They're tribal fishermen.
That's on.
I'm using I said there was tribal fishermen.
Get the enforcement guys out to Tom's house right There's, now.
Yeah, because you know the smoked chum was awesome.
No, it's that smoked roe.
Yeah, roe. It's going to Japan.
I've had chum roe.
Is it?
See, there's more of it. It's right there.
I've had chum roe from Alaska, and it's not that awesome.
Yeah,
we did it. We went down that road.
Where were we?
Yeah.
So the long and short is, I mean, I think we've proven the juvenile point is we're going to figure out what we do with the adult point, and then we're going to have to come through and figure out, because I think we can make some recommendations at, like, certain flow ranges.
Well, I would at least, you know, to answer the issue of listed and not, and hatchery and not, let's just keep it as...
Well, for adults, though, but I mean...
And juveniles, because they're all a mix.
I know.
They're both are mixed, and so I'm not going to worry. I'm just going to kind of call it even between the two and just look at adults versus juvenile impacts. But we do need to get that adult impact down, because I think that is the joke.
Well, the question is, did University of Idaho, their known source, were those all hatchery, or were those all wild, or did they just do whatever they had?
I'd have to look at the report. It's whatever they tagged in that study.
Very few.
And they were known source because they were previously pin tagged.
So for steelhead, those ones would all be probably hatchery.
Yeah, I doubt they selected for the swallowfish.
Yeah, and they couldn't have got enough fish. They did.
No. Chinook would be the only one.
Previously tagged, pin tagged wild fish?
Well, the Chinook ones, they could, well, because they probably, these were all probably transport fish.
What's this?
So from adults, for University of Idaho, to do known source fish, they probably had to use, especially in 2001, 2002, those are only going to be fish pit tagged at Lower Granite because there were some hatchery tagging.
Or steelhead?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was one on
steelhead.
I don't know.
Hatchery, so those all had to be Lower Granite transport fish.
What are you thinking, though, that negates the...
Those are mitigation fish, a lot of hatchery fish.
And they're all bypassed past anyway, so they're not true Z0s. So
that's just... I don't think you should go down that road.
This model's going
to
get really complex.
Because then you have to start monitoring what's actually coming through at that point in time.
I know. I'm saying it's going to be.
That is important, though, in abundance, I think. I'm not going to go down the road of who they are, but.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, University of Idaho.
Yeah, it's a back of the mind calculus.
All I was thinking was, University of Idaho, did they actually have enough fish of one group or another that you could actually parse out to see if you saw a difference between hatchery and wild? If they're trying to get at final fate. Now, final fate.
That difference is enough that, it's scary either or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bound to be significant on either side.
Yeah. Even altogether.
Did they find the transported fish to fall back on?
Yes.
That's what I was trying to recall. I think they did look at it.
Yeah.
So there's another reason why your conversion rate for fallbacks is worse, because transported fish fall back more.
And because most of these were probably transported fish.
Does that matter which dam? Fall back at Bonneville or fall back at Ice Harbor?
Well, I think fall back more is from that study, isn't it?
They probably this is just a Bonneville though. They probably overshoot more at like McNary. You would see it shoot fish overshoot.
Because transport fish at Bonneville might not matter.
I'm just saying, if we're gonna use the adults as kind of the linchpin on this, I'd want to be pretty comfortable with adult information. I don't want to just use like a very broad brush number.
Well, another question on that is like SAR. What SAR do you use? Like, we can't go to 11 and use a SAR.
I think
so. We have to use like an average SAR.
First thing you have to say is that fallback does increase with increased spill.
No, I think
it does increase with increased use of power outputs. Lay out those first.
Well, see, that's the thing is like
that's the general.
I think you can say definitely power outs one operation. I think with more power outs one operation, you'll definitely see more fallback.
Yep.
I'm still not convinced that once you're spilling 100. I don't know, by spilling that much more, you're going to see that much. Because I think, because as soon as you start spilling more than 100, that means Power House 1 is basically fully loaded. So it's a chicken and egg theory, honestly, for me.
Well, let's look at the data, but I think...
I don't know if we have any data on that,
there
though.
There is a difference.
That would be the interesting thing. I don't know if we have data on that, though.
The higher the rate, the higher the flow, the those fish that are over there going to go down? So, you know, it's, but is the rate, once you get past a certain point, does 15K or
make a damn difference?
Make a bit of difference.
No.
I don't think it's
very
does.
Slight. It's like 3% for 100K.
Was difference, but for Chinook, it didn't seem to change that much, the rate.
Yeah, I think you would see a difference, but I don't know, say, 200K spill or something like that. I don't know.
I'm thinking anything over 120K spill, you're not going to see a
difference. And that, but you know, we did do that.
No, you see it. If you look at spillway KCFS versus fallback extension.
Yeah, but that was basically when we were still doing Powerhouse 1 as the primary powerhouse.
It was.
So my point is, I'm saying is, like, I think the biggest driver is as soon as you get more flow on Powerhouse 1, you're putting more fish to be susceptible to fallback. And I think, and the, we used to set the fallback and the spill level was at 75. Now it's at 100.
Okay, so there's two things that are going to happen.
Exactly.
As you go up, you're going to go with Powerhouse 1 to hit that cap.
Yep.
Then for our, we're going to spill. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go up there another 15K.
Yeah.
And then we're done. That's all we're talking about. It's a 30K shift of flow.
Yeah.
And so for that first part of it, go to Powerhouse 1. That's going to be dangerous because you're putting more flow through the Powerhouse.
And that's
fish.
My point.
At some point. But you know, if it's a difference between 9 units and 10 units, is it
not
really a difference?
Yeah.
But this has that in there, Tom. It has the proportion that you're going to pull over there, the change in proportion of adults that you're going to put over to the Powerhouse 1 side, and it has the amount that you're going to fall back because
of
the aspiration.
Yeah, fall back. How do you estimate the proportion of pull though?
Well, then you just have to make a wild ass guess.
Okay, just check it. I just want to make sure it's a wild ass guess.
Yeah.
Do we actually have numbers on that? Because that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
but I know
you have
to
make a wild ass guess.
Okay, no, just checking. As long as we're making swags left and right.
Yeah.
You probably have to just assume it's like doing this. It's kind of a one-to-one ratio of fish across the breadth of the dam.
I mean, you can look at some historical data and look at what you used to pull over there when
what
you had
you
Powerhouse
do
1 priority and what you pull now.
That would be interesting. And, you know, Dave, this would be perfect for Dave. So look at flows and adult counts.
You point at perfect for Dave, and I know exactly what that
that's
means.
The downside. I know where that might come bouncing back at.
Well, that's going to be species-specific if you're talking winter steelhead.
Not,
but,
yeah.
You know, I mean,
it'd be spring Chinook. Be spring Chinook, steelhead, sockeye is the ones we care about. Because fall Chinook, I'm not worried about fall Chinook.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, though, that could be a variable that, you know, this is complex. We're going to drive ourselves nuts.
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, it's like, I know there's juvenile impact. I'm trying to make sure I want to have a pretty, because I think we've done a pretty good job of saying, like, yeah, we see juvenile impact. There's not much more information we can really get from that to prove that.
Okay.
It's how do we know the fallback?
You have to ask every question.
Yeah.
And answer every question to some degree. At least say, okay, we realize that, yeah, there's a hatchery in wild, there's a transport versus non-transport, there's ESA listed, non-listed, all these issues. We choose to, you know, ignore those, or we choose to make some sort of a judgment call in there. But we need to lay the questions out so that anybody who asks, say, well, did you consider this?
Yeah.
Here's our decision. On that, you just have to document it, I think.
Yep.
But I don't know how far you want to go down the rabbit hole of actually precisely measuring that.
No, I don't know.
Because they're just not on mute, I think.
Thank you, Andy was talking to somebody. But no, my concern is that if we're going to use adults as basically the reason we're not going to do something, and right now to me it sounds like the biggest swags we've got is in adults, then I want to be able to firm that up.
Urban survival and adults are going to be the two biggest swags that we're going to have.
Yeah.
And I think adults are going to drive the show.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't know. I mean, because we're talking such a small change in turbine. I mean, for Powerhouse 1, we're not going to be seeing.
I think it's going to be, if we do this in flows of 150, in that matter, we may not want to do it. That may be the case where we do put too many adults over to the other side and bring the merry-go-round. If it's 300 river, it may not matter. We do want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, if we have the capacity.
Honestly, I thought the breakpoint was going to be about 240.
So that's it.
I did some quick back calculations. It's like
below
from
that, you did just hold the course.
Yeah.
Just, you know, you go ahead and run Powerhouse 2 up. It's not worth it.
240, 260 seem to be the breakpoint for me.
And then if above that, if you say no, we'll go to Powerhouse 1 with that extra 30, and you can't. So you go with 15 there, and the rest of it goes to spill. And BP's going to say, no way in hell, but at least that's our recommendation.
Yeah.
That's the best for fish. But we need that breakpoint. I thought that's where the model would be useful, is we put all these, you know, just the numbers that we have in and run them up to the point where you find that 240 or whatever it is.
260, whatever it may be.
260, there it is. And then beyond that, you just lay out what you do. And I think that's as simple as it's going to be.
Because honestly, I mean, what do? We said it's about, because I was thinking Fall Chinook. When do we see a big change of when Fall Chinook go from so powerhouse to when we have too many fish in powerhouse to we have to basically split the powerhouse? Oh, basically,
it's usually September.
But I'm saying my point, it's usually about three units, I think. So once you get, that's why I came with like 260, 280, because I said, it seems to me once you get more than about one, two units of powerhouse one, you really see a dynamic change of an adult using the powerhouse one.
It starts shifting over to that side, yeah.
And I said, that's when you're going to see your adult fall back.
Too, that for the one unit may not make a difference, two, three a lot, four, a lot, five, six.
And once you're on at four or five.
Once you get to eight or nine or ten, maybe it doesn't matter again. So
yeah. I mean, that's the nuancedness of this that I'm trying to figure out.
I think that's what you do have to lay out. So if we, at the end of the day, you lay out your, you either do this operation or you don't do this operation. Here's the
way sidebars, you do it, kind of,
the
sidebars
and the schedule based on river flow. That's what we can put in the fish passage.
That's kind of what I was hoping to do. And that's why I'm just saying, I'm not digging on your model. I just want to feel fairly comfortable because it's on the juvenile side, we at least have some numbers we've at least have something with.
I have some except numbers for the adults, too. I have the fallback reascension rates.
Yeah, I know. Well, the fallback rate, those ones I don't, I'm not too worried
about. Proportions from counts, all we need to know is how those proportions are going to change based on putting flow
that's
over there.
That's
stuff we can find out.
Yeah, that's adult ladder. That's adult ladder and flow. We should have that.
Find that.
We should have
so
that.
We can get that response based on if that, we have.
Put that response variable in there, and we're ready to go. You have the dark fallback reascension though. It's like, do you use an average or do you use a particular year? Like right now, I'm using a particular year, 2010, and it happened to be that in 2010 they were exactly the same. The fallback rates for B1 and B2 are the same, which is unusual.
Yeah.
But if you use an average, you'd find that the fallback at B1 is much higher.
Much higher. That's what you'd expect.
Right.
That's why we did in 2000 when we did the Bonneville document. We said, let's get away from powerhouse one operation and put it through powerhouse two.
Yeah.
So what do? Do you use an average or do you use particular years? Let's take one particular year, trying to keep it all equal, and it totally changes how all these variables relate together. There's so much variance that the variance drives more of what you're seeing than the actual numbers.
You
see
a lot of hair in your head right now.
Yeah. It'll thin over the years.
I just like. If the only variable was just juvenile bypass survival and we increased that 10%, we're looking at a 0.6% increase in concrete survival. 0.6. That's like our maximum benefit. All these other factors are taken away from that 0.6% increase. Just a few adults are going to...
Well, then that becomes a question. Like, so how many adults can you subtract before you say that 0.6 isn't worth it?
But that's a 10% increase in GBS survival. We're looking probably more at a number of
4 or 5.
We had 98% survival there for the performance center.
The only thing I'd want to do is take a look at what was the turbine operations during those. If those turbine operations were at basically midpoint, then it's like, then yeah. But if they weren't, if those were all at midpoint, and we say, well, if we were above that, the bypass would have dropped 4 or 5%. What would that have done?
Right.
So
that's why I've just been plugging it. Even though they're 98%, I still put a 10% increase, which would put us at 108%, just to see what it would do.
Okay, Scout Scale's going.
Yeah, I'm building fish, creating fish, but...
Recovery.
Even
and
doing
you can
that,
leave that in the recording, Tammy.
I can't edit it anyway. It's all saving.
Yeah, we have an 18-minute blank.
I'm not going to be responsible for that.
She'll do some redacting.
That's why an exercise and seeing what data we should use probably be useful for this. Put it up on board and have everybody say, don't use that, use that. Don't use that, use that. That way I can use what you want.
Do you have just a rough outline of what data you've been using? Because if you just put that in a document and throw that up on
it says what, juvenile proportion, and it says what I'm using next to it in brackets, performance test data, or U.S. Army Corps of Engineer ladder counts for adult proportion. DART.
And this is on the website now. I haven't looked at. Tammy, did you put Trevor's stuff?
No, it's not on the website.
That doesn't help me, does it?
No. Well, I wanted to have a discussion about it before I put it on.
Oh, come on, just throw it on there. I just hope.
It's just a little.
It's just an Excel spreadsheet, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's just a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
It's like second grader add, subtract, and multiply.
No, second grader. If you have an equation there, that's at least third or fourth.
That's even lower than Gary's fifth grade.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I saw his. It's much better.
So fast. This is adult. I don't know. This is.
It just get it just does all the math for you, basically. Yeah, right. That's all the variables.
Typical, you know.
Yeah.
Well, there was a conversation just a little bit ago about, you know, what goes back to my concern about, you know, just making an assumption of an average or mid-range operation, because what Tom said, you know, is that if it, you know, if it's really, you know, it makes a difference what your input assumption is on that turbine operation
mm-hmm.
level.
It does.
I think we should look into that and find out what the data we have is based on and use that rather than just an assumption of the mid-range.
Because, yeah, I mean, the only reason I'm even caring about this is that I can see some action changes to people, not you, Agnes. You'd never do this. But Scott Benton's going to come back and say, we're meeting the performance standards. Why am I changing?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If it says that we're the bypass survival is 98%, and we think that we're going to get 4% better by doing a different operation, it puts you to 102.
Yeah.
That isn't wash. So.
But that's because the performance standards was done later in the year when we know that survival is better.
So maybe you just go the other way and you say those are an average, and you go down from there 4%.
I guess they need to be just look in 2010 when they did the test and what was power to operations. If they're
probably pretty close to mid-range,
the whole time
that they were doing.
And if we that's a little box we check. We check that, then we say that 98 is the midpoint. So anything we do that goes outside that is going to be a decrease from that. So
not in 11 though. 11 we had screens pulled during that period.
Yeah, that was the thing. So in 11 we didn't even have a gate
work on screens.
Well, but in 10 at least for the spring. We were not using the back screen on the BBSs, and we had high flows.
But even in
11. Yeah, that's true. Even 11.
Even in 11, we saw an effect of increasing the proportion above the mid-range for coho, yearling chinook, and subyearlings.
Right. It just depends on what period.
With or without screens.
Yeah.
The way they have without screens.
The few that went through.
Dean still collects quite a few fish without screens.
He does.
Yeah. It must be that damn gap closure device.
Takes them up there. They find the office. That's amazing, especially without PBS.
All right, so where do we go from here? It's really the million-dollar question.
Starbucks?
Stop.
Too early for lunch.
Yeah. Too early for bar. Fine, I'll go get the overhead projector and we'll start playing Charge Mob. Be careful what you ask for.
I would like you, Rick, and Gary at least to look at it.
Yeah.
Took a little to follow the Fish Pasture Center guys with it, but.
Don't bother us with your model.
Unless you guys want to. You guys can see if you
I've
want
already
to.
Turned in myself.
Yeah, that's what I think.
My steaming pile.
Your flaky gold.
Yes, your pyrite is looking awesome right now.
Starting to show its
true metal content. So, then I'm guessing what we need to do.
Well, we need to write all this stuff up.
Yeah.
That's the key.
So,
is having summaries of each of the key issues, the boxes you were talking about checking to be checked.
Exactly.
So, described.
Do you want some help with that, or are you just going to take a sugar first shot at that?
I think you were volunteering.
You actually did volunteer because you said, I'm going to take a crack at writing this up in my thing. So, you will play that back.
I'm hearing one of Margaret's collective wees.
Yes. Yeah. I'm a master at the collective wee, the royal wee. So if you could take a crack at that, I can give you a hand with that.
I heard you, and we'll help you.
Yeah.
That's what you heard. That's not what he said, though.
So, I mean, the first shot would be, like, doing a summary of what we've got.
Yeah.
The next is going to be having Trevor put his little
Excel spreadsheet up. Yeah, I'll take a shot at summarizing the documents that have so far been thrown into the web page and putting those in
that's all I was suggesting. I wasn't asking for
more. But then there's all these questions that we've raised here
exactly.
That we can go back and listen to, because there's lots of little boxes that need to be checked to say that, yeah, we considered them, didn't think they were worth it, or too much work, or whatever. But yes, we did consider them. Those need to be laid out, too. And I think that I have 10 items here now, and I think I heard maybe at least some sort of subset items that go under the adult side of this, for sure. I think that's where the big ones are, as you said, Tom.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a lot of information, as Trevor says, but there's, you know, how do you use that? And some of those things, like transport versus non-transport fallback rates and stuff.
Yeah, we do.
Well, if the first thing is grabbing Universal Idaho and find out what the source of their fish was. And is that a consideration we need to be concerned about?
Right. Right. So. Yeah, well, there were no sources, so they should be able to find
out. Should know what they did. Should have found out what they were doing.
Must be there.
So due out is Gary's going to update his fancy memo.
Is
going to be a 6th grade or 7th grade now?
We'll see if he gets to middle school yet.
Okay.
We're going to hope for middle school. I see a joke about that. Then I've seen one of my kids have to produce in 5th grade now. It's like, holy crap. Damn it.
I know my kid at kindergarten. I can't believe she's got to read and add and subtract in kindergarten.
Like, what the hell? What happened to the days of eating paste? Damn it. I like
There's
those
no
days.
Time for paste anymore.
I know. Damn paste. So there was that, and then the one thing I can maybe take a crack at is putting together the level of questions that we're kind of figuring out, put that out to the group, and then see
yeah,
what.
Those
and then,
are what will end up being on a lot of the subset.
Yeah.
Decision making.
And then people can add in what I have forgotten. Questions on topics. Trevor needs to get his
model out there for people to start looking
Trevor
at.
Trevor on web. To take a look at. Look at, and then there'll be some subsets of this data that was used in that. Basically, yeah. That's going to be then just the data review of what.
It's just another tab. There's tabs that are labeled on there. Yeah. That you can look at, kind of look at the underlying data.
So really, supposed to take a look at what the review what you use for this and see like, do we have some concerns with this or is this the best we've got? Is basically what I'm doing
right.
with that.
And I'm open to suggestions.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I'm not saying you probably did a bad job.
Well, this is a framework. I think the framework's good. I mean, it covers all, like SIMPAS, it covers all the routes of passage and all the things that might happen. Now, how do you populate that?
Yeah.
And especially if you're talking SARs. You know,
oh, God.
We have some good SAR data. The Science Center has good SAR data.
The problem is SARs vary so widely across the
That's the thing, and there's so such a significant factor in the model.
Oh, yeah.
They're way more influential than the juvenile stuff.
And we're talking SARs of adults that, you know, they're disjunct. They're not the same.
Oh, yeah. Well,
gorge
after so. Brandon engorged my damn email box with all his damn hatch reports, I was looking at the SARs across that. I was like, oh my God. Because, of course,
hey, you have to get the emails. I have to write the damn emails. You know what? I don't feel sorry for you. It's the least I can do.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Your inbox over a merry freaking holiday.
Happy Hanukkah. Here's the 10 days of hatch reports for Hanukkah. Yeah, there you go. It's Hanukkah hatchery Christmas.
I appreciate the fact that you because it's either you do that or you get an email that says, I think you have a typo on figure one. Are you awesome. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll get on that.
Could you use yellow?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I think I figured out why 2,000 SARs for the hatchery changed so much for spring Chinook. What'd we do in 2001? Marsh selective fishery. I totally forgot about that. I was asking my hatchery. Jared was supposed to come over and ask you. Because I called Jared and said, Jared, why the hell? Because, so my policy came down and says, why are the SARs so different from the hatchery?
What was your answer?
So I talked to Stuart. He says, well, you know, we started having marsh selective fisheries for spring Chinook in 2001. But, oh, shit. And since these are all hatchery fish, those are going to be actually pulled out. Yeah. No. Screw the kill net. Think about all the sports fishermen. Because I was out there. I know.
You were one of the guys.
Yeah, I was one of the samplers.
Sampling efforts.
Yeah. I had an awesome day where I had 9 fish on. I only got to keep like 3 of them.
Okay,
so,
I was leaving it back.
Yeah. So you start thinking, I was like, holy crap. You think of how many zillion boats below Bonneville and all the way up through the system.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, yeah. It's like, oh, crap. Yeah.
That could skew it.
Yeah. That could explain some of the difference we saw in the SARs. So, but yeah, it's like, that's the thing. It's like, what do you do with that?
Yeah, I know. What do you do with different cohorts?
So I know.
How do you, you know, how do you just call them even and say whatever? I think that's
all,
about all you can do. Because otherwise you drive yourself crazy.
Well, yeah, because then if you really want to be smart, what you do is you if you're like on Sockeye, you take SARs for Upper Columbia versus State. Because they do have a difference in timing, so you
they
could
do.
Say.
Absolutely.
That, yeah. So you can say like, well, is it mostly
if we do this during this part of the year, it's not
then,
listed.
Yeah.
If this part of the year, then it is listed.
Yeah. So that is...
You guys are making it easier.
Did you expect us to?
You should know better by now.
How many times you come to a meeting and the situation's been simplified?
No, yeah.
Yeah, or rectified.
Yeah, let's say, leave
that one. Usually the only way it gets rectified is we're just dropping the whole damn thing.
Yeah, forget it.
Don't do it.
More like rectified.
Yeah.
Rectified.
That could be the term for the Columbia.
No.
That could be a good term for
it. But it happens.
Rectified the situation.
So, Gary's going to update his memo. I'm going to put together a list of questions and that kind of stuff we need to at least try to make a look at. I'll send that out to the group. People can add to it as they see fit. Trevor's going to get his thing on the website. That'll give us a chance to review the data he's using. And then I guess really what it comes down to is then people need to get together for a meeting and say, let's take a look at breakpoints and see if we can find where, is there a flow breakpoint where this makes sense at?
It's the end of the day. That's what we're going to need, I think.
Because that's really what it'll come down to. Because I think that's where the recommendation's going to come into, is like saying, for flows below this, the adult impact is too great, let's not mess with it, and for flows above this, it makes sense to do it. And is that something that people can get behind? If they can't, then it's a recommendation from who can.
You gotta make a recommendation, and we're trying to find what's best for fish here.
Well, when I say recommendation, if I can get the group behind, awesome. If not, then it'll be up to individual people to champion a change form with those recommendations in it.
Right.
So,
yes.
When did you take this to FPOM as a whole?
Oh, God.
Or are you just going to bypass that?
March 14th.
When are the change form discussions? Is that the 17th?
When is it when we usually derate?
Yeah, the 24th.
April? Oh, it's 24th. What's the 17th then?
March 14th.
We won't have it done before April.
I have no idea what you have going on the 17th, but the 10th is our FPOM meeting.
And you didn't want a room for me, did you?
Yes, you got it.
Oh, shut up, big boy. I thought it was the 17th. Oopsie.
Not the mumble you want to hear.
No.
17th is SCT.
Oh, that was the meeting I suppose. Okay, I got SCT. So, yeah, since I seem to be the new meeting room for the region.
Yes, thank you.
Well, it avoids all that security.
So, yeah, I know. So, remind me, I'll go check on the 10th. I think we had to do a flip flop. My policy people took the.
Upstairs in that.
Yeah, we're in the Columbia room.
Oh, I thought that was for the FPP on the 24th.
Okay, I'm taking that.
We'll find.
Well, that one won't be so bad because we only have to have half of us there at a time. We don't have to have all of
them.
Well, yeah, except they all show up. It's all the same day, right? They're all going to be sitting there in the room.
What are you going to do?
It won't matter.
One district in the morning, one in the afternoon?
We usually do Walla Walla first, and then we do Portland Scuffers, so that way the Walla Walla guys can actually get out and try to get home before low dark 30. Mm-hmm.
What? No, I didn't put them first.
Really?
I don't want to sit there all day. I sit through all these meetings all the time.
So do I. And you get paid more than me, so hey, you can just suck it up. Welcome to my New Year's resolution to be even less kind than I normally am.
I was thinking that they could drive down that day.
Oh, you're going to let them drive in the morning?
Afternoon.
Let them figure out whatever they want to do. After the meeting, let's go upstairs and talk to my secretary and see which rooms we've got and make sure we got the right
rooms. Secretary?
A front desk for secretary. Oh. I get a secretary, please.
So what's the next meeting for this?
So that is the interesting question. So the 10th is regular FPOM.
Followed by fish counting.
Oh, I also missed that.
Followed
oh,
by
yeah.
Else.
What? Fish counting?
So, next Thursday, yippee-dippee. So the question is, if we want to try to do something, could people think they would be comfortable enough to have maybe something to take a look at, try to do a breakpoint? I mean, the question is, do we want to try to get this in time for the change forms on the end of the month?
I don't think we're going to get there.
And then February, we might make it. So if you change forms can go in anytime.
Yeah.
They can. It's just that if you want it in the printed version, they need to be in by mid-February.
And honestly, it is better to have it.
February.
Oh, mid-February?
The first week or second week of February, we need to have a meeting. The final.
Do you want to take it to the February FPOM so that you could get it into the printed version?
Okay.
Or what whatever. Or not. That is on Valentine's Day.
Oh, I'll bring you a Valentine's.
That's not necessary. I'll do the baking.
I don't think he was going to be baking.
No.
Yeah.
Well, technically it could be, but. You can take that however you want. I'm just leaving that wide open.
Oh my God.
So we need to. Then we should have a meeting sometime like
month from now.
Okay, first week of February.
see, what's the third?
Is that
that's a Sunday.
Is that too long?
It's a Sunday.
Last a lot, really. I mean,
yeah, that's why I was thinking trying to have something
in between.
I was thinking that last week of January.
We have to do the early part because.
Well, the 31st is a Walla Walla Fitterwig.
Right.
The when is?
31st of January.
Thursday. It's the Thursday.
Yeah.
Of that, I mean.
So what would like say Wednesday afternoon?
Are when people when are you driving up there?
I don't. Depends what time the meeting is because they've been
all day.
Well, yeah, because sometimes they go like, oh, we'll start late.
Yeah, and then go on the Friday.
I think that's what they.
On the morning of the 30th.
Yeah, I think they're starting at 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
so,
and they're going to the next day, too. Right?
Yeah, so okay. There's really no reason to drive
that fast on.
You're even an hour ahead of me. Come on, you're fine.
Well, it's not steelhead fishing season.
What about Wednesday morning? Yeah. Do you want to leave Wednesday morning?
That's TMT. That's why I'm saying TMT afternoon.
I don't have that as a scheduled time, but that's...
Oh, if TMT's not scheduled, then we can do it Wednesday morning.
There may be a call scheduled, but I don't have a meeting scheduled for the
30th. And the calls, if they last more than... That's an excuse to get off at 10 o'clock.
What's Tuesday? What's on Tuesday?
FPOM in the morning, or FPAC in the morning only, and Tuesday afternoon would be open, probably.
That might be the best.
I don't know, it's Tuesday morning.
I'm okay.
Damn it. Oh, Wednesday morning. Check to see... Tam, do you have internet?
Right here?
It's really slow, so I...
Oh, you must be on ours then.
I don't get good cell signal in here.
Yeah.
Well, I don't.
If you want, bring back June Hogs. That's our...
Yeah, the guest.
Never remember.
Yeah,
I think
with spaces, but no capitals. Is that what it means?
Yeah, something like that. Spaces,
yeah, all
but no
spaces,
capitals.
No capitals. I think is the new fancy password security system we got.
All spaces?
So spaces means
no.
Word.
Spaces.
Oh.
Spaces,
but no caps. Bring back the June Hogs.
Does that mean bigger than net match?
Is there the
June Hogs?
Bring back June Hogs.
Bring back the June Hogs.
Is it the? I think it's a the. Yeah, there's a the one there.
I've been through this.
Bring back the June Hogs.
And it's the same password for both upper and lower.
Yeah, would have been a better password.
You look up TMT, or is that what you can do?
Yeah, if there's nothing TMT, I'd say Wednesday morning. Because I have a bad feeling something is going to go crazily wrong at FPAC on that Tuesday. So.
The end of January?
Thanks.
Chum. It's that time. Yeah.
Chum.
Because I have no one else.
Yeah,
I am the warm body.
There's not even a phone call listed.
Excellent.
For the 30th.
Then Wednesday morning is...
So this is the FPOM Bonneville.
I'm going to be on
call. Leave at noon.
For my house.
Really?
You said an hour closer. How am I going to get an hour closer if I'm here?
Yeah,
it turns out to be 2 hours because you got to drive in and then out.
So you seriously are going to drive Wednesday night?
I'm seriously going to drive up there Wednesday afternoon. So, unless I don't go at all, which is possible.
Well, I know I'm not going. Well, I can be on the phone, but
if I'm driving, I'm going to drive Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
Back on Friday.
Oh, I drive Thursday morning.
Yeah.
It's 10 o'clock. It's 4 hours. Get up late at 6, you're fine.
That's the way to do it.
I don't need 2 nights away.
Well, speak for yourself.
Your wife's not even around the house as much. I just want someone to cook for you. I see what it is. Not for me. I get to go for dinner. Nice. I see your ploy now. Damn it. Those Swanson chicken pot pies are getting old,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, I don't have to drive. I don't have to end up on the shiny side down, side up.
Yeah, I've done that before. Don't
worry.
January.
Yeah. I know you have.
February. That was awesome. Did check out the structural integrity of a sob upside down. It was pretty solid.
When did that happen?
Oh, God. 98.
It's been a while back.
Oh, yeah?
I did 99. I did black ice. I'd go to Farmington.
On 84?
Yeah.
So you went it Wednesday morning?
No, if we want people here, we'll have to do it Tuesday afternoon. So, Tuesday 1:30.
Wow, when did that happen? Tuesday 1 or
1:30. Say 1:30, that way if I want to take a longer lunch.
Yeah. This is...
Gives me time to review, so...
This is the final one, so we should have at least one meeting in between us.
Yeah. With that, we can at least try to formalize. We'll have... We should have all the stuff formalized. We'll run through the model real quick, see if we can figure out flow line, and then we could at least get a draft.
A model meeting 2 weeks from now, best as we can. feet.
Okay.
You're so, going to get a room here?
Yeah.
From now?
Yeah. Or well, a lot of people have time with this, so I'm just thinking at home.
Another question is after SCT on the 17th.
Has left the conference.
Why don't you say 17th after SCT?
Is that another meeting of this?
Yeah, that would be going through Trevor's model and trying to see if we can get the flow lines. Because with that, we should be able to get...
Well, the flow lines, I really want the adults, the proportion that we can expect to go over to B1. I don't know if that's something the Fish Pasture Center can look into.
If they can't, I can ask Stuart. Stuart and I can take a crack at it.
Okay.
The question is how many years back do we want to go?
Just to have a good idea of how many we expect to pull over there with that flow. I don't know if you look currently or before we went to priority. I don't know what the best way to look at that is. You could look at the particular months that we did what this operation that we derated.
Honestly, what I was going to do if I did it would be take a look at like the last 6 years and just take a look when we have zero flow at Powerhouse 1, around 3 units, 5 units, and then full house, and then take a look at adult counts and see if we see a change in proportion of fish.
Yeah.
If there's a break point. Like, yes, when you have 3 units, you see...
You don't think it's a ratio issue, though, the ratio of Powerhouse 1 flow to Powerhouse 2 flow?
I think there's probably a functional, that's going to be dependent issue there. If you have more and more flow, it's going to be a bigger change. And at some point, it's going to slow down. It'll be a functional response and not a ratio. So, and that's going to be, I don't think it's
linear. I'm just hoping I can get the data.
Yeah, it's clear format. We'll find out. It could be linear, but I don't think it
would be. I just know we pulled a lot more adults in the B1 priority days. So.
We did. Yeah, absolutely. But that was when it was mostly Powerhouse 1.
Because Powerhouse 1 is where you started.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's day and night. But what we're asking a little different question is if you have one unit, are you going to make much of a difference? We'll even go over there.
Yeah, do you see a big difference from 6-0 to 2 units?
A response, and they really start taking off, and then at 10 or 9 units, and 10 units, it drops way off again.
Yeah,
that's
see
what I would expect.
And I'm just going to take a look at spring with all we'd want to do.
Yeah.
Just for Chinook or?
Chinook steelhead. Sockeye?
Put all that in an email and send it to Dave.
I will. Dave's actually.
Dave.
Dave B.
Brandon.
And you end another
Brandon
meeting
B.
On so the
17th? What was the other meeting date?
The 29th. Afternoon of the 29th.
You've got the invite for the 29th in your inbox. So the 17th is to go over Trevor's
that'd be
model
meeting. Let's call that a model meeting. And then the other one's the final, development.
Yeah, well, I say after the 17th, we should have all the pieces, and then on the 27th, that should be a fairly short meeting, just writing up what our
operation
is.
Well, yeah, it may be that we all break up at that point, which we probably will, then it's going to be up to somebody to bring it
in. Change form.
So give me till Tuesday of next week to get that on there.
That's fine. You've got 2 weeks. I mean, 17th,
you guys can look over it and play with it a little bit, and we can talk about it.
What time do you want to
end? We have SCT in the morning, so I would say 1:30.
Oh, 17th is, right.
SCT.
Yeah.
Does that work for everybody? He sees a hole in this. Besides this fact that it looks like
17th is a sovereign technical team meeting.
Oh, God.
Where we're going to be doing a lot of data. So I'm going to have to look carefully at whether I can be there or not. I mean, I want to be here for the model stuff for sure if I can.
Yeah. Well, worst case scenario, after that meeting, we'll send out kind of what we've got. We'll kind of have I'm assuming after that meeting, we'll have what data we're using. And kind of where some flow check lines. People can take a look at that and review that and say, oh, yeah, looks like they did a good job, or these guys are smoking, these guys are too close to the epoxy.
Run it through like 10K increments and flow and see what, try to find that break point that we talked about, see if that's there.
See if it's apparent.
Yeah.
And then that's all we'll do with that.
We'll
and then
write a recommendation, and then we'll fight about it, and then we'll walk away.
That Tuesday afternoon meeting might be really short.
Really?
That sounds realistic.
It does, doesn't it?
Nope, can't agree to that, sorry. So what do we do? Oh.
I disagree.
See? I got time. Hour and 15 ahead of time.
I can have your dictation.
Yeah.
But then we're not. You guys up for lunch?
Oh, Lionel Gilbreth? 11
o'clock.
He did a study of gate level mortality at Bonneville that initially raised a lot of alarm about the issues there with mortality and used Spring Creek fish, sub-yearlings, and Rhino River sub-yearlings. Gary says Chinook, Spring Chinook too, and I haven't seen that part.
It's funny, because of the holiday time, it seems like you've been back for...
No one's website besides Sam. Actually, it's in review right now.
Oh, we all went away.
He initially just did a
report.
So, yeah,
it's just
me
because I was out. That would be really great.
On it?
Which I
have.
I think we talked about
that.
Is it wet? Have you tried anything right now?
No, I don't.
Okay. But yeah, so it basically documents this mortality in the gate well issue. So. Like, this is at the lower end of 1%, 9% mortality. At the middle, he had 14.2, and at the upper, he had 32% mortality for Spring Creek fish. So really young juveniles at the third and fourth mark, so they're pretty small.
From the park side, whichever side.
And then he looked at it a little bit later on. With the same fish.
You got to go past the park.
But a larger size.
Headed south.
Yeah, because it's a little bit later.
A gate that says
so the average
trail length, line, but you have to get
so you see that fork length, 68 to 69.
And so it went down.
See if they have a
63. The state has a...
So the larger the fish,
shows you the numbers and stuff to call.
Yep.
You call them, it's like some lady, you know. Just,
and then
you know,
so... They went up, to, yeah, so quite a bit different from lower to upper.
He changes the combination every day.
Well, it's turbulence, and they can't turn it, so they just get exhausted. They just get tossed around.
Thanks for all the interrupt. And then the trails, it's right up Mono Lobo, and it is really cool. So you go through this kind of cow patch.
And then it goes back up.
Then you get this native forest.
This is a different unit.
Oh.
If you can see it.
Yeah, it's a general trend, you see. The trend is holding through it all.